for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday afternoon service on July the 7th, 1994, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Coffees are the speakers for the afternoon.
We minister together. We pastor a church in Millington, Tennessee, which is in Shelby County, just north of Memphis. So much for who I am. I'm a son of the living God. And we minister freedom to God's people is our mission. And it's been a blessing to come to minister in this place, and periodically we come over, and Glenn and Irma have graciously allowed us to take part in this ministry of setting God's people free. My wife is going to minister to you today. I'll tell you this much. The Lord gave her the ministry of deliverance. He didn't give it to me. He gave it to her. And we both say that truly those marks you see down the carpet in the church from the door to the pulpit is where He drug both of us into deliverance. Because this was not what we wanted. But it was what God wanted. And it's been a wonderful walk with the Lord. And we've seen great and mighty things. Now, there were a bunch of people came up the other night. One of the ministers asked, would anybody want to be involved in deliverance, in the ministry of deliverance? And I saw a great number of people come up here just eager. And I was so thrilled. I was just so thrilled. And I hope you're still thrilled 2 months from now that you came up. But let me tell you, yes, it's hard, but it is the most rewarding of all ministries I know. Oh, I wanted the healing. Yes, praise God. I got healed in a mighty way, and God got my attention in a mighty way in healing, but I saw God move. And if you want to see God move, you get in deliverance. Do you know that that was the only place I found where Jesus called something a miracle? When He talked to those disciples and they said, we saw a man casting out demons that was not with us. And He says, don't you ever put anybody down that will do a miracle in My name. And it's a miracle. That's the power of God working. It's not us. It's the power of God working. And we give God the glory. So I'm just killing time here till she's ready, and I believe she's ready now. And we saw the Lord God work just now. Praise God. We just saw God move just or since you have been here today. Come, Mildred.
Praise the Lord. He says He's not in the deliverance ministry. Don't believe Him. Don't believe Him. He is right there with me. He likes to do individual, just one-on-one, you know. But I tell you one thing, anytime I go to preach or minister with He and where I can see Him, I don't want to go. Say, well, He's not just for us. No, but see, we walk together. We're one in the Spirit. That's what the Word says. When you were married, you became one flesh. You know, I do praise the Lord for deliverance and what the Lord is doing. I told Jim, I said, my husband Jim, I have a son that's called Jim, so when we minister a lot to people from mission, they bring us about 35 or 40 women twice a week to our church on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. And then on Saturday night, we've been going down there ministering to about 150 people. And
going down where?
To Memphis. Oh, I'm sorry. To Memphis. We live in Millington, and we go to Memphis to the mission to minister. And we see the Lord do so much. But my son works in the mission, and they call him Jim, and my husband's Jim, but to me, my son's James. So I've almost trained the people at the mission to call my son Jim, James too. But I want y'all to know, Jim and I have a lot of children, black, white, and they call us Mom and Pop. But I praise the Lord for the opportunity to share with you tonight, this afternoon. Told Glenn when I come over here, he always blessed his heart. He always asked us, tells us, and I always tell him I come to listen to. I'd rather listen to him. We do deliverance all the time. I teach deliverance all the time. My Jim teaches whatever the Lord gives him, and most of the time I teach on deliverance. But I was telling him that the Lord woke me up Tuesday morning. I believe Glenn said Monday night when we came in, he wanted us to minister this afternoon. And the Lord woke me up, and he told me, he said, I want you to go and share on what you're doing, the spirits you run into, and how they've come in. And he began to give me this message. And I told my husband last night, I said, you know, I have tried to add to and tried to take away, and God won't let me. I said, he's not let me add anything to it, and he's not let me take any part out. And I always try to... some of the places where I minister, they don't like me to talk about the names of spirits, but demons. If I say spirits, you may think I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about demons this afternoon. And when I minister, I want to know what I'm dealing with. And most of the time God tells me. If God didn't tell me, then I'll make this demon tell me so I can get people free and know how it got in and all this. And I had not been able to share a whole lot on the names of the spirits that I've been dealing with. But we've been running into some... What they tell us, I don't know, and I've been hearing it come from everyone's ministered this week that we're fighting end time forces. And these demons are telling us they're from the pit. They tell us they came from the pit. I ran into one Sunday night, and he said, man, have I had you deceived? And I said, well, that's not hard to deceive me. And he said, you thought I was so-and-so, but I wasn't. I was... And he wouldn't tell me who he was. So I asked the Lord who he was. The Lord told me. And when I called his name and told the demon he had to go, he says, don't you use that name on me. I said, why not? My God just told me who you were. But I want to share with you exactly what the Lord gave me, if I may. And I appreciate what Jim said about the scripture where God said, if they don't, not doing in the word when they came back to Jesus and told them, said, they're not one of us. They don't do deliverance like we do deliverance. As long as they're doing it in the name of Jesus and God's there working, praise God, however they come out. However they come out. Because the word says, and I tell people that I minister to, I never sit down to minister to someone that I don't expect demons to come out, whether we see evidence of them or not. The word says you cast them out by the... Jesus cast them out with his word, and when I sit down in the name of Jesus to call a spirit out, they have to go. That's God's word. And so I praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing in the area of deliverance. I praise the Lord, Glenn, for all the deliverance that came forth this week over here. I've just been so excited. I told Wanda back there just now, it took me 3 days to get rested after I get over here. But I'm rested now. I'm ready to go again. Praise the Lord. If you will, open your Bible to John's Gospel, chapter 3. Father, I thank you for your word.
Yes,
I thank you that your word is true. And Father, that when we come in the name of Jesus, that you hear us. Father, I thank you that we're seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And Father, now we just come and I bind every force in the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. I bind principalities and powers and rulers and kings and thrones and dominions and all the forces in the heavens in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, to send angels in to sweep clean again.
Yes.
Every demon that's been cast out. Angels, drive them out of here and don't let them stay and hinder or harass anyone in Jesus' name.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I bind the strong man, each one here. And I bind every spirit that would hinder us from hearing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I ask you to give us hearing ears, seeing eyes, and an understanding heart that we might receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. The Lord told me to start with John's Gospel chapter 3 on salvation. He said, well, I'm saved. Well, good. I'm used to ministering to people that are not. They say they are, but they're not. And the Lord gave this to me a good while back and said, this is why a lot of people are really not walking anything, in anything, because they are walking in presumption in salvation. So let's read chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Jesus says, Marvel not that I say unto thee that you must be born again. And the Lord was showing me that so many times people are not sure of their salvation. It's because it's a fleshly thing. It's a mind thing. They're born again. They know the word in their head, but they haven't received it in their spirit. And until the Spirit of God takes that word and the seed of the word, and it's put in the spirit, and he brings forth the new birth, people are being born again by words and not by the spirit. And that may be hard to understand, but so many people they have hard times finding out if they're really saved. You say, well, I know I'm saved. And I find people telling me that I've been baptized, I'm saved, I've confessed Jesus as my Lord. Well, unless you know, and I always tell them, you know that 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 you know inside. And nobody can come up and tell you you're not saved. No spirit demon can tell you you're not, don't belong to God. When you know that you know that you know that you know, then you know that you're born again.
Amen.
You hear the word of God, and the Spirit of God takes that word and brings forth a new birth. God showed me salvation that way, that the word has to be planted in the spirit, just like Mary received Jesus in her womb. That is the way we're born again. You say, well, why are you going through all this? I want to tell you something. If somebody asks you how to be born again, you say, well, you've got to make Jesus Lord. And that's true. But you've got to hear the word of God. They have got to hear the word. They've got to know that Jesus came to earth. The devils know. They believe and tremble. They know who Jesus is. All the demons of hell know who Jesus is. But they're not born again. And many people are born again, have a knowledge in their mind, but they've never let it get into their spirit. And I tell you this, you people that want to do deliverance, don't do deliverance on anybody's not saved. You're wasting your time. And you must first, before you do anything, you must make sure that they know Jesus. I'm speaking from experience, and everything I'm going to share with you is something I've been through. I worked on a lady for several years in my church. God kept telling me she wasn't saved. I would confront her, and, oh, yes, I'm saved. I'm saved. And everything we cast out, that girl came back in. Everything. And one day, the Lord got a hold of her, really got a hold of her, and she came to Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And the demons began to say, we don't want to stay in here anymore. We want out.
Amen.
The difference is when a person is born again, those demons don't want to stay in there. I said, well, this is my house. A lot of them say, this is my house, and I'm not leaving. Well, that's true, too. But these things have been telling me, I don't want to be in here. She's got God in here now. She doesn't say God. He says, you're God in here. I like that. You're God. But we need to make sure a person is born again before we minister deliverance to them. And my Bible tells me over in Joel, in the second chapter of Joel, in verse 32, said, they that call upon the Lord shall be delivered. Now, that tells me that a person's got to call upon the Lord for deliverance. And sometimes we come up and we'll say, I don't know whether I got any demons or not, but if I have, I want you to totally set me free. Well, that's against the word of God. God says, I'll set you free. He says over in Deuteronomy, he says, cast them out little by little as you're able to possess your land. The brother was talking this morning about those returning. The one you cast out returning and bringing seven worse than the first. And Lord showed, I thought that was great. I praise the Lord that he just confirmed something God had given me. And I preached a sermon on it. That he said that if you don't fill your house, that one will come back in and bring seven more, and they start a new kingdom. Eight is the number of a new beginning, and they start a new kingdom in you. Amen? Fill up on the Word. Fill up on, I always say, ask the Lord to put within you. I use Isaiah 11:2 and say, Father, fill them with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of fear of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of counsel and might, but especially the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And the Spirit of the Lord. And you take that and you ask God to fill you with those, and He will do it. Because the house has got to be filled, and you've got to know how to resist the enemy to keep him out. I'll tell you something else. You need to know how to get rid of sickness the minute it hits. Rebuke it. He says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. This on resisting the devil is not part of my sermon tonight, this afternoon, but I do want you to know that the minute a pain hits you, if you'll say, no, you don't, you have no right to this body belongs to God, you're not going to come in here. You start resisting the devil. I've been using this on the enemy when he tried to put something on me. I say, Lord, this is your body, and it needs repairing. So I'd ask you to fix it. See, if this scripture says that our bodies are the temple of the Lord and God lives in it, the body's not mine anymore. So if something happens to the body, I can't fix it. And I said to the Lord, your body's sick, Lord. It needs healing. And God fixes it. We have to believe Him. We get in agreement with everything but what the Word says. We've got to be in agreement. When two agree is touching anything, it shall be done unto them. And the Word says it, you get in agreement with the Word. And the Word says it. I love Brother Glenn's prayer on by the stripes of Jesus at the whipping post. Let me tell you, that's powerful praying. And you use that on the enemy. Ephesians 6, the Lord told me, I'm going to share with you on a spirit that I've been dealing with and a lot of women. Mostly women, because I don't deal with men. I don't do deliverance on men unless the Spirit of the Lord just puts me there to pray. But it's in the men also, but it's a spirit of destruction. It comes in through abuse, incest. Abuse can be sexual abuse, it can be mental abuse, and it can be spiritual abuse. But the sexual abuse, incest, breaks the bonding that God meant between father and children. And every 9 out of 10 women that I deal with have been abused, and it takes a while to get them to really admit it because they are so ashamed and they feel so guilty, and they always think it's their fault, and it's not their fault. And this is what the Lord showed me. He told me, He gave me the scriptures to share with you this afternoon. And I'm giving you this because you're going to be teaching it, and you that wanted to do deliverance, and you're going to get people that are really hurting, women that have been abused, and they think they're no good. They think that they'll never be okay, that they're mentally and physically just everything hits them. And if you'll start with seeking the Lord in the area of the abuse and begin to work on that and show them that it wasn't their fault and get them to forgive and begin to work in that area, you can do a lot to help them get free a lot faster than if you go after rejection. Is a strong one, but let me tell you, I call a lot of the things we call off furballs. They're manifestations of the problem. A lot of things that people are getting rid of, bitterness and anger. I ministered one little girl last week that was so angry at her father. She said, I'd kill him if I could. I'd kill him. And I said, you've got to forgive him. You've got to forgive him. But there's so much anger. And see, the root of that anger was abuse. And I'm saying abuse sounds better than incest, but it's incest. And they have been, the people have been wounded. And God has put the father as a protector. And because the father did not protect the child, these things come in. In Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, God's word said, children are to obey parents. And children are helpless under their parents. It said, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And we teach our children to honor their father and mother, and they should. This is what the Word says. But what I want to show you, that children obeying your parents is true, and they need to. A lot of them don't do it anymore. Most of them don't. But many a child has been abused because they were made to do what the father wanted them to do. He said that it, talking about the honor of the father and mother, said that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, you see, this is where the door is open to all this that hits the children. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. A child that is abused is so angry, helpless, frustrated, wounded. All of this comes in through abuse. And we go after frustration, we go after anger, we go after hurts, we go after bruises. And what we need to go after is destruction, because destruction comes in through and rebellion. Oh, rebellion. I said they're born with, everybody's born with rebellion. You watch a little baby and you know that the rebellion is there. But the thing is that when this begins to happen, where the father is supposed to be the protector of the family, and I'm saying father, it can be a brother, it could be an uncle, it could be anyone, but no matter who it is, the father is still accountable because he is supposed to be the protector of his children. And when he is not there doing his job, and someone else is the abuser, the same spirits come in, because there is a broken fellowship between the father and the child. And the child is literally up for grabs. I ministered to a girl in our church. She's a nurse. She came to us. She's been in our church now for quite a while, but she came to us on drugs. And the first spirit I ever manifested, not meaning to, just praying, was the spirit of Valium. And Valium and all the drugs that she was on was just to cover up what had happened to her. And so I went after the Valium. Got my nose broke from that one, but the Lord healed it almost instantly. But the thing is that as we begin to unwrap her, get the drugs out that she was wanting us to get out of her, the Lord began to show us what the root of the problem was. And so we learned to go and dig down. We just continued digging, unwrapping. I said, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he says, now you unwrap him and let him go. He could have taken those grave clothes off, but he said for us to take them off. And that's what we were doing with her. But when we got into the, at the root of it, there was a spirit of incest there that had opened the door for this ruler spirit to come in. And he was a spirit of destruction. He has a name, and I'll give it to you in a few minutes. At least he's what he told me. That's who he told me, and I firmly believe that's who he is. We cast the spirit of Abaddon, and some call it Abaddon, but I call him Abaddon. That's who he told me he was. I just go with what the demon said. And we cast him out of her, but he said that he was her protector. He came in to take care of her. Her father did not, and so he came in to protect her. And she remembered going into her closet after a session, and she said that she had gone to her mother and told her mother what was happening, and her mother did not believe her. In fact, her mother whipped her because she told her. And so from then on, she was not free to go to her mother, so she hated her mother because her mother wouldn't believe her. But she was in her closet, and she said this thing came to her. She didn't see it, but she heard it. And he said, if you'll let me come in, I'll take care of you. And he came in. And her life was hell from then on. It had been hell before then, but it was really hell. Everything under the sun had happened to this girl. But what I want you to know is that God has called men to protect the children. They're to protect the family. They're to keep them safe, because what? A father is a picture of our Heavenly Father. And God takes, if a father, and I have this coming out of a girl's mouth that I minister to all the time. Why did God let this happen to me? If he loved me, I tell them, he loves you, God loves you. I don't believe it. Why did he let this happen to me? And they have a real hard time believing that God loves them because of what their earthly fathers did not or did do to them. And this is what God was wanting me to share. I don't know who this is for today, but someone here, God is wanting you to hear this, because I would have loved to have gone some other way. But God wanted me to bring this to you. And there's another scripture over in Colossians that says the same thing. And I want you to turn to it and read it in Colossians in the third chapter. And it says the very same thing in verse 21. He said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." The other one said wrath. My Bible says anger on what yours says. "Lest they be discouraged." And you're talking about children being discouraged. We're running into now, and many of the people that we're dealing with that come off of the street have been so abused by parents that they cannot believe anybody can love them. They cannot believe anybody cares about them. And you say, well, that's street people. It doesn't matter whether they wouldn't have been on the street had not this happened to them. But at the root of 9 out of 10 of them that we minister to, men and women, this has happened to them, and they cannot believe anybody loves them. And so they go out and they try to destroy themselves. Over in the, and I'll get to that scripture in a few minutes, in Revelation, when it talks about Apollyon the Abaddon, it says that spirit is a destroyer and destruction. It comes to destroy and to bring destruction upon the person that allows it to come in. God said in Genesis, in the 18th chapter of Genesis, when he was talking to Abraham in verse 19, or verse 18, says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So what I want you to see this afternoon, as we're getting all the unwrapping and all the things, all the deliverance that's gone forth today and this week, is great. And it's true. It's really good. Don't you feel better? Okay, now start binding. If any of the things that I'm saying has ever happened to you, start binding spirits of destruction in you. You start working on it to get it out so it won't open the door to let any of these other things come back in. It's necessary to get everything cleaned up. What do you want to do? Clean the road so nothing, all the trash off the road as you go down the road? You've got to get all that stuff out. Every bit of it's got to go. But get the strong man out. I was wondering with the Lord, I said, "Lord, why can't we just go in there and call that thing what it is and get it out?" And he said, "But there's all this other stuff that's there that's got to go too. Clean the house while you're at it." And it takes time. It takes time. We are so used to instant food and instant this and instant that. We want instant deliverance. And I always tell them, this one girl came to our church, and I had this young man, from the mission, that's one of the pastors that comes out there with them. And he ministered her one night, and he was after this spirit of destruction. And he told her, I don't know what happened. I was busy. I didn't see it. But he told her she was free. And she was just praising the Lord. She got a lot of deliverance. She was praising the Lord. And I was busy, but in a little bit, she manifested again. That spirit in her manifested. And I didn't know he had told her she was free. So I went over and I bound the spirits in her, and I was calling her back to take over her house. And after it was over, she said she was crying. I said, "What are you crying about?" And she said, "He told me I was free." I said, "Well, you are free of whatever he threw out of you." But I said, "You've got a lot of stuff there. It's taking you years to get all this stuff in you. You didn't get it all overnight. And you're not going to get rid of it all overnight. It takes time. And besides that, if you got rid of everything in you when you go into deliverance, you would have just an empty shell, and you would really be in trouble. Because you wouldn't fill your house up like you're supposed to. You may pray a little bit, read a little bit of word, and you think, "Man, I'm great. I'm going to go back. I'm okay. I'm going to go and do my thing again," you know. And you go back, and then you get 7 worse than the first. And you've got all this stuff in there. God gives us time to learn how to keep it clean.
Amen.
He takes us step by step.
Yes.
Step by step. Go over to Revelation chapter 9. I had a minister in Memphis call, put me on a carpet for calling. He tried to, but calling this spirit. He said, "Don't name demons." I said, "Why? The Bible still calls them." He said, "That's no." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. You come out to my church, and you sit there and throw this thing out of this girl that's got one of these, and then you tell me that you don't have to have its name, and I'll go along with you." He was so mad at me, he just wanted to scream at me. But I gave him the scripture, and he still was mad. But first of all, he didn't believe a Christian could have a demon. He really didn't. But I really believe he's come to the conclusion that maybe they might be oppressed by demons. And that's a step. I mean, he's coming on in the right direction, praise the Lord. But anyways, I always want to know when somebody comes at me real hard, I sit there and listen to them a little bit, and I'm saying, "Lord, what's that spirit talking to me? Is the demon manifested telling me all this?" Like the brother was saying this morning when he said that, what did he say about a Christian couldn't have a demon or something? And I forgot what he said, but I thought, yeah, but that demon was sitting there just talking to you. Oh, the lady that was preaching said, oh, she was saying that sickness was not, couldn't run a spirit, but it was not a demon. It was not a demon. And I thought, I wonder what sickness was talking to him. I wondered what spirit of sickness was talking to him. Because I firmly believe that most every sickness is a demon. And I have to go by what I do. What I know, when I say what I do, when I cast one out, the person's healed. They brought a lady to our church, this nurse that I was telling you about. She works for a doctor up the road from us, and for 3 days she couldn't raise her head up. To go to the bathroom, she had to crawl across the floor. And I didn't feel sorry for her because she knew better. She knew better. She should have come to the church and got deliverance. And she called me and told me that her doctor that she worked for told her to go to the hospital and have some kind of a head thing, I don't know what. And she says, "I'm not going to go." And I said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, you know what it is." I said, "Of course, what are you doing at home?" So she finally made her. Her husband brought her to church. And he literally brought her to church, had to pick her up and bring her into the church because she couldn't hold her head up. She would try to black out every time that she would straighten up. And he set her on the front row in the chair, and I was just happy to be sitting here, and he set her down, not too close to me, set her down over here. And she said, "I got to lay down." I said, "You don't lay down in this church." I said, "I bind you to that chair in the name of Jesus." I said, "Demon, who are you? You that's putting this on her manifest and tell me who you are. In the name of Jesus." And she said, "I won't lay down." I said, "No, you're not." I said, "You tell me who you are, demon, in the name of Jesus." And I put my hands on her, and all of a sudden she said, and it started growling at me. And I said, "Well, I've had demons growl at me before, but I still didn't know who it was." And I said, "Who are you? Are you the one doing this to her?"
"Yes."
I said, "Well, who are you?" He said, and of course, said, "You know what they go through. I'm not going to tell you all this." But he did. He told me who he was. He said he was the beast. He was a beast. And I said, "Well, you come out of her, beast or not." And by then, the church had, when they first brought her in, there was just four of us there. The church had come in, so everybody just in our church, they just gathered up around you, and they just go to pray, and everybody prays. And as they prayed, well, that thing really got mad. It got manifested. She could not only stand up, she took all of us, tried to take all of us with her. And we got the thing out, and we got it out by singing in the Spirit. It paid no attention to us as we were commanding it to go. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, "Sing in the Spirit." And I thought, "Now?" He said, "Yeah." And so we did. And it left. It went out. And the girl got up. She said, "I got to try this out." And she'd seen the Lord do it before. Many times it's witchcraft when a person's sick. And she got up and she walked around. She said, "Oh, I'm okay." And then you know what happened? We went into deliverance later, and she was over there on top of somebody just calling out spirits going and coming. Because she had been freed from sickness, and she was wanting to work on somebody else, and she did. You talk about somebody, she knew. She knew. And I tell you, this is why I said I didn't have any sympathy for her. She went 3 days to sick. She didn't have to be sick 3 days. Because we have ministered to, we've got an old man in our church that's 80-something years old. You think I'm old? He's old. He told me he was going to call me Mama. I said, "I'm not your Mama. Everybody else was calling me Mama. I don't want to be an 80-year-old man's Mama." But Anyways, he was healed and delivered. He was delivered from epilepsy. And I know what I'm talking about. It's too late to tell me that. And so that's why I said when he was talking this morning, I thought, I wondered what spirit was talking to him. It was somebody demanding that. I'm not saying all sickness is demonic. But I do know this, that I can call a symptom off and get relief. Yes. But when I get the name of the one that's causing it, we get healed. But you got to get the ruler over this, whoever's causing that sickness. And if I have time, I want to give you some of that. I got to go on. But anyways, I wanted to read this scripture over in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. And said, well, verse 1 first. It said, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, in verse 11, it said, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Well, I'm dealing with another girl, been dealing with another girl in the church that had this spirit of destruction in her. She hears voices. This thing talks to her. If you're having trouble hearing voices, I would tell you to go after this thing. And I believe that he's a root of a lot of the voices that people hear that are trying to get them into to destroy them. But she came to us when the doctors couldn't do anything for her. They had done everything. They'd given her medicine. She'd done all this. And anyways, we ministered to her for a long time, and nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. She didn't yawn. She didn't... nothing. It's just like, I hated to minister to her. I want to see something happen when I pray. I want to see somebody at least yawn or cough or sneeze or cry or something, you know, if you're doing deliverance. And she just sit there like a bubbling log, I'd say. But one day, everything in her broke loose, and she started getting deliverance. And this thing manifested me, and he said, who do you think you are? Well, I said, well, I'm not anybody, but Jesus is, and he lives in me. And I tell you what, I got authority over you. He said, you ain't got any authority over me. I said, you are a liar. I got authority. My authority comes from the throne room of God, where I'm seated in Christ Jesus. And I said, who are you? He said, you don't really think I'm going to tell you, because we went through all this stuff. And I said, you know, I know who you are. And the Lord had given this to me. And I threw that out, and he really went berserk. I called him Apollyon. I said, you're Apollyon. He said, I'm not. I called him a demon. He said he wasn't a demon. He was an evil angel. I don't know. I know one thing. He tells me he's not. He's still there. We almost got him out. One night, we had him almost out. It's not like fighting just a regular demon. We had him almost out, and all of a sudden, everything changed, and we didn't know what happened. See, I'm real smart. I mean, I really been in deliverance a long time. I'm real smart. I didn't know what happened. I really didn't. And we just bound her up and went home. That was the one I went on to the other night. And he said, man, have I had you fooled? And I said, well, that's not easy. That's not hard to do. You know, it's very easy to do. You can fool me easy. This is the one told me came from Obama's pit. Leviathan. You heard of Leviathan? We heard Brother Frank mention him the other day. But what I want you to see this afternoon is that these spirits come in, and they're not, they will, if you don't get them out, is what I'm trying to say. They will still work, and they'll keep the door open and bring back in anything that they can. The word says that a curse can't cause this come. But as long as that thing is in there, and you don't know he's there, and you don't keep him bound, and you don't work against him, he will keep a door open where things can come right back in. But you see, it all began with the incest. We see kids today, you wonder why some of the children today are like they are. Well, if you knew where they came from, what had happened to them, you can understand why I say kids are killing kids. Because no one has done anything about what has happened to the children to help them overcome. And now, let me tell you, it would be a lot easier to get stuff off of them when they're this size than when they're 35 and 40 and 50 years old. They've been there a long time, and they really believe, those things really believe it's their house, and they're not going to give it up easy. Man, I tell you what, when I first ran into one of these, I was going everywhere saying, tell me what to do. You're in deliverance, tell me what to do. Nobody would help. They said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then they'd give me the scripture. And I thought, well, I know the scripture. I'm using the scripture, and this thing just sits there. What's holding me in? I didn't know. Well, I found out this was the girl that wasn't saved. And what I want you to know is that since she's gotten saved, that she has gotten bukus of deliverance, and has, the Lord has just done such a work in her. But see, I couldn't get her lost. She was churched. That's why I went with John 3. She was been brought up in the church. She was saved. I keep saying, God don't have any grandkids, but she evidently believes she was. I don't know. We could not get that girl lost. And that thing kept telling us, this is my house and I have a right to be here. Well, he did. He had every right to be there. She wasn't God's. She still belonged to the devil. And I think this is why the Lord really wanted me to share this afternoon. Now, I've got at least one more spirit I'm going to go on before I quit. We're going to do some mass deliverance or whatever. But I want to show you something else. I heard someone praying. I haven't heard any teaching on over here on the fragmented soul. You say, well, what are you talking about? Some of you would be like I was the first time I ever heard it and said, I don't believe in that. Well, if you could have been in my church a few months back and helped me deliver the woman that was delivered from a hunter of souls, you could understand it better. The scripture tells us, by the way, I was going to use Exodus 12 on the blood covering, that God says when you use the blood covering, the destroyer cannot enter in. And had that woman been born again, see, those spirits couldn't come back in because if she had applied the blood. Exodus 12. Didn't God tell Moses when he was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt that to put the blood on the door? Well, God's been showing us to seal. We seal. We use the oil and seal them. Ask God to seal them, spirit, soul, and body. And we've seen a lot of success from it. But anyways, let's go over. I'm going to leave that alone and go over to, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 13. What I'm saying you may not want to hear it and you may not be in agreement with it, but I'm telling you from experience, we've been into this. We've been dealing with these spirits. And when you can't deny them when they're there and they're talking to you. This girl, when we ran into the hunter souls, what I'm saying you may not want to hear it and you may not be in agreement with it, but I'm telling you from experience, we've been into this. We've been dealing with these spirits.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.